Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show with your morning show hosts, Julie Calamine and Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you doing?
Well, great. How have you been?
Good. It was a great weekend. Went down to Central Idaho, Stanley, Redfish Lake Lodge, and just fabulous, fabulous weather the whole way. The rivers are running high, very high.
So true. It's so true. And I had a good weekend myself. It's morel season, so you know me. I've been out mushrooming.
You got to get some mushrooms to go with some fish.
That's right. No fish yet, but mushrooms. Yeah. And my friends will know this, but there's an irony here because you all know that I love fishing, and my cell phone has made it through about 100 fishing trips, but it did not make it through a cycle in my washing machine last week. So it's been kind of a rough weekend.
So playing a little catch and release with the iPhone?
Very much so. Anyway, up and running again, so that's good. Well, we're going to launch into a wonderful morning show, but before that, I'll give us a weather report so that we know what's in store for us. And today is a great day. It's going to be sunny with a high of 82, and tonight we're looking at mostly clear with a low of 53, kind of a warm low. Wednesday, there will be a slight chance of showers, then a chance of thunderstorms with a high of 82. Wednesday night, 40% chance of thunderstorms, then a chance of showers, same kind of low in the 50s. Thursday, chance of showers. Friday, sunny, mostly sunny. So it's getting nicer throughout the week.
It's shorts weather. It's time to break out the summer shorts for those who haven't yet.
It is, and I'm in shorts today. And speaking of shorts, what do people that work on native plants like to wear? Shorts. And who are we visiting with this morning? I'd like to introduce our morning show guests. And we're having this morning Bob Wilson of Cedar Mountain Perennials. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
And Mary Frazier, who is a past board member of the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society and also the Arboretum Leadership Team member. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So our topic this morning is the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, and they've got upcoming events, but there's a lot more to the Native Plant Society than simply upcoming events, so we won't start right there. Let's begin by talking with you both about your interest in native plants, how you came to be on the Native Plant Society.
I'll give you a little bit of background about myself. I actually do have a bachelor's degree in botany, and I've been interested in plants all my life. I've studied botany and horticulture, and it seems every time I move, I go to a new place, I take an interest in the native plants that are in that area. I find them very interesting. If you go to nurseries here and there, you often find the same plants in every nursery, but when you go start looking out in the wild, you find each place you go, it's different. And so I really enjoy that. I did come to Idaho about in 2000, and was fortunate to find an opening with the University of Idaho Extension in Bonner County, and worked doing horticultural work there. But kind of got connected with the Native Plant Society, which then was a chapter of the Idaho Native Plant Society. Then later went an independent route and is now their own entity, the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society. And then after I left the university, got more involved and was on the board for 6 years for the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society.
And you've become a grower of native plants, Bob. That's your current work.
Yeah, that's my current work. Although before I lived here, I lived in Flagstaff and had a native plant nursery there as well. My wife Jill run a native plant nursery called Cedar Mountain Perennials, and we grow quite a variety of native plants, not just perennials, but we include a few shrubs and trees as well. It's been a very enjoyable occupation for us.
I'm picturing the move from Flagstaff to Idaho, and you probably didn't bring a lot of your inventory with you, a whole different set of native plants.
Almost exclusively. I think I have maybe two species that I'm growing that we grew there. I did bring seeds, but then I wound up never using any of them because they just really didn't quite fit our climate here. But there's the golden columbine, which is down in Arizona and in the Southern Rockies, that does quite well here. That's one of my favorites. So
But it is quite different, isn't it? And we're a unique climate and many unique microclimates here, and that has to be challenging for native plant selection, and not only for you in the nursery, but for people when they are considering what to place where.
Yeah, and I think the situation in Flagstaff was more extreme, being that it was at 7,000 feet. A lot of nursery plants really did not do well under the... We had extreme temperature fluctuations, very cold in the winter, very, very dry. Not so hot, but dry in the summer. And took a lot of watering and care to take care of the conventional nursery plants. But the native plants, of course, thrive in those conditions. Mm-hmm. Here, I don't think it's quite as much of a challenge. There's a lot of plants that do well here that are not native. But the native plants, there's a lot of nice selections, and you can make quite a nice garden either exclusively of natives, or you can mix natives in with non-natives as well.
And does your nursery only supply native plants?
Yeah, we grow natives, and I probably should define what I mean by natives, because not everyone uses the same definition. Our plants are all plants that do grow in the wild, so that we're not talking about hybridized or cultivars. They all occur naturally in the wild, so they all have that natural toughness, hardiness, and drought tolerance, and so forth. But they're not all native right here in Northern Idaho. Maybe about 80% are from Northern Idaho, but we have some that are from farther afield, from the Rocky Mountains, like purple coneflowers out of the Plain States, and so forth.
Yes, it makes sense, but it is nice that they're natives, and as you say, it makes it a little easier to grow them. We're not, don't have to put quite as much time and effort in.
Well, I think that's the big plus with native plants, is that you don't have to spend a lot of time watering, you don't have to spend a lot of time amending the soil and preparing the ground. They're very, once they get established, very self-sufficient plants. And so that makes them a very low maintenance, as well as the many other benefits.
Mm-hmm. So let's turn a little bit to Mary and tell us about your background and interested in the Native Plant Society.
Well, pardon me, whereas Bob has considerable background in native plants, I have had very little before I got engaged in this organization. My mother, however, moved here in the early 90s, and she was one of the early members of the KNPS, of Kinnikinnick Native Plant Society, and also a board member eventually. But I was living in Salt Lake City, Utah. I was working in the world of development, working as a nonprofit fundraiser. And when I would talk with her on the phone, I'd hear all about this new arboretum that was being created. And, you know, she was one of the volunteers who worked to create the arboretum after it was designed by Lois Wythe and her initial crew. And so I had this image of the arboretum in my mind, pardon me, and had no idea what it was all about. I would come up here during the winter and the summer vacation period, and finally I succumbed to the Longbridge moment and moved up here 5 years ago. And just last summer, a dear friend of our family, Mary Jo Haig, found herself in need of a volunteer coordinator for the Arboretum. And I had some time on my hands, so I obliged, and that was the beginning of my ardent involvement in the Native Plant Society. I've really appreciated learning so much about native plants, getting acquainted with the really wonderful people who are associated with the organization. And as a volunteer coordinator last summer in the Arboretum, meeting the people who traipse through, the local neighborhood people who come through on a daily basis walking their dogs, the destination tourists who come specifically to learn about the North Idaho native plant habitats. And it's really just been such a wonderful opportunity for me to meet a diverse and really interesting group of plant lovers.
I think for many of us, I know as I was looking at Sandpoint to decide whether or not this was a place to move to, I discovered the Arboretum somehow. I just stumbled across it and I had my own Arboretum moment, similar to the Longbridge moment. It's such an asset, such a gem for the community.
It really is. And I really kind of think of it. Some may not consider Sandpoint an urban area, but in the summertime, it really seems like a little bit of an urban oasis, because you've got that That tall coniferous overstory that provides a really cool and shady environment. And in the summer, so many people come to kind of seek refuge from the heat in the middle of the day and in the early morning to enjoy the cool temperatures. And it just really is a wonderful place to kind of feel as if you're walking through the forest all the while in the city of Sandpoint.
What a wonderful description of how you came to find yourself involved with the Native Plant Society, because it sort of, it does seem like it's been a bit accidental for all of us. And full disclosure here, of the four of us sitting here, three are former board members and one is a current board member. So we're all pretty invested in this wonderful little group.
Although I was just filling in for someone for a couple of months, so I'm really not a long-term person when it comes to board service, but perhaps in the future.
there was one thing to follow up on right now a little bit. Mary, you mentioned last summer you were the Arboretum coordinator, but this year you're the Arboretum leadership team member.
Right. So I just wanted to acknowledge a really wonderful woman who has been so dedicated to our organization, and that is Sylvia Chatburn, who for 19 years has managed the Arboretum since its inception. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the original crew of like a dozen people who really mapped out the Arboretum and designed and built it. Mm-hmm. Sylvia has been the person who has worked with the volunteers, who's cared for the plants, who's been the touchstone for the Arboretum for knocking on the door of two decades. And after that long-term service, she decided it was finally time for her to step aside and pass the torch to another, and we came to the conclusion that those were big shoes to fill. So what we did was kind of reformulated the management program and decided to create a team approach. So we have four people who are we call ourselves the Gang of Four, and this is the Arboretum leadership team that consists of Ray Charlton, Mary Jo Haig, and Sue Gervais.
Mm-hmm. And you took four people to fill Sylvia's shoes, saying something.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Well, we're here to talk about the Native Plant Society today, but there are two kind of important events on the horizon. Why don't you tell us about those briefly, and we'll come back to them in a little bit.
Bob, do you want to talk about
that? Yeah, I'll jump in here on that one. We do have a native plant sale coming up, and that's going to be June 2nd, but it's also a celebration of the Arboretum, and I'm going to let Mary tell us a little bit about what that is about, but we've had a native plant sale, and this is it's a fundraiser for the Kinnikinnick Native Plant Society, so it's an important event for them, but it's also a chance to bring a lot of native plants out where folks can see them. If they want to walk around the Arboretum, it's held at the Lakeview Park Arboretum there, so people can wander around the Arboretum at the same time. We'll have a lot of the native plants that I grow. Diane Green of Green Tree Naturals will be bringing her selection of native plants as well, so we should have quite a nice thing there. I also did want to mention that it's the site is right next to the Bonner County History Museum, and they are having their first free Saturday, which means that every first Saturday of the month is a free day. This particular one is sponsored by Dr. Robert Rust, and he's a supporter of the museum. So you can come to the plant sale, and you can visit the museum all in one day and make a day out of it if you want. Our event starts at 9 a.m. in the morning and goes till 1 o'clock.
All right. Mm-hmm. And Mary, something else is happening. This is
big. Well, I wanted to say, just in kind of an extension of what Bob was talking about, there's a traditional bake sale with coffee, so bring your appetite, skip breakfast and have it with us. And also, this year, we're going to be offering an expanded selection of garden art. And that will include some really cool hypertufa garden planters with succulents, note cards, glass art, gnome doors. We can tell you more about that later.
Yeah, what is a gnome door?
well, you know, the little pixies and fairies and gnomes mm-hmm. need access to the bottom of those trees. So this is a little access door that you can adhere to the base of your tree. And Phil, thank you so much for asking.
Do they work for the Keebler elves? I'd like a few cookies baked in my tree trunk.
What's behind that door?
I think you're on your own. Definitely akin to that.
But also some vegetable hods. These are it's a really purposeful contraption with a very odd name. And it's essentially a basket with a wooden handle and a wooden frame that has a wire bottom. So you can harvest your vegetables and then you can rinse them off under the spigot and carry them to the house. It's really a nifty little item and other things as well.
Okay. I was thinking we might come back to this, but maybe we should just launch in now. We'll talk about details. We'll get back to the mission, et cetera, in a little bit. So, Mary, tell us about the next. Tell us about your part in this. Tell us about what's happening with the Arboretum, and then we'll continue on with details of the plant sale.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned last summer, Mary Jo Haig kind of buttonholed me and got me involved as the volunteer coordinator. And coming from a development background, a fundraising background, working for a very large natural history museum in Utah that was undergoing a huge capital project, building a $100+ million new kind of world-class science center. I was, for many years, in the midst of this amazing environment. And part of that was a lot of exhibit fabrication, working with exhibit designers and fabricating the installations of permanent displays, as well as all of the signage around the museum, donor recognition, trail signage, etc. So that was kind of what I'd been living with for a long time. And when I came into the Arboretum last summer, I saw that there really wasn't much in the way of interpretive information. And a lot of questions were asked of people who were visiting. And so I thought a really great opportunity existed to create some signage that would kind of provide contextual information for visitors, because this is a self-guided kind of tour, the way the Arboretum is set up, pardon me. And so providing information about the 8 different North Idaho habitats that are featured within the Arboretum, plus information about our organization, the Native Plant Society, and volunteer opportunities as well, because the Arboretum is always looking for seasonal volunteers during the growing season, June through mid-September. So we even have a little QR code. For those of you who may not know what that is, you may have seen these squares that have kind of this squiggly kind of barcode appearance. You can take your smartphone and just put it up to that code and be transferred to the Native Plant Society's webpage. And so it's just a really kind of efficient way in which visitors can get more information and also connect with our organization. Yeah, sorry about the frog.
If I could jump in with a question, Mary, was that grant funded? And if so, where did the money come from?
The money was earmarked from the organization specifically for this purpose. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
it was.
Now, Mary, you get a chance to ask Bob a question. Any question?
Bob, you know what? I've got so many plant-related questions that I'm going to have to put to you specifically when we're off the air. But, Bob is just a really great resource because whenever we have questions about specimens within the Arboretum, whether it be pruning or care-related or, whether a specimen might look like it's not thriving or compatible plants to put together, Bob has just proven to be such a great resource to have access to. So he's got so much knowledge, and we really appreciate it.
That wasn't the question.
I want to affirm Bob's knowledge by saying one of the, I think, most interesting things I've done in adult learning was the 6-week course that Bob somehow took the book Botany in a Day and turned it into a 6-week course. But we learned everything.
Yeah, that was a fun event, and I wasn't the sole instructor there. Also, Derek Antonelli with Fish and Game, and Jill Roche, who has a native plant landscaping design business.
It was fabulous.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good course. It was well attended, and I think everyone learned a lot, including myself.
And I've got to move back to you for a moment, Mary. that your process of going from inception of the signage until very recently the completion of the construction has been a long, long, long process, and you've been patient, and your design work, it's just been really, I can imagine it's more than you might have expected.
Boy, that's a really great assessment, Julie.
An understatement, right?
So today, you make it sound as if everything is completed. Well, we're still in the throes of finishing touches. Today, we're pouring cement with a couple of volunteers for the concrete footings for the signs. They're being welded currently by a really fantastic guy, Nate Helms, over at Spartan Arc and Panel here in Sandpoint, just off McGee Road. And yeah, and the signs were National kind of Park Service grade high pressure laminate signs, very durable for the weather conditions that they'll be subjected to, you know, throughout the year in the Arboretum. But it's been you know, a bit of a process from having an idea to presenting options to the board, and the board deciding that the kind of homespun non mass-produced look was what they wanted. So I had to kind of put on my thinking cap and work to make sure that we could get things engineered as presented.
And the content, you've mentioned that you're relatively new to the area, and plants were not a background, you know, it wasn't your background, plants and plant native plant information. And so who helped with the content?
Well, I learned a lot. So I worked on creating the text for the signage, and you know, when it comes to information that's graphically presented, less is more in a classic sort of way. So having imagery, etc., to complement the text is important, making it visually appealing to the viewer. That's all very important, but. One thing that I thought was really important to convey was the benefits of native plants. Why native plants? Why are they important? And, you know, they're really the foundation for our web of life. And they're the protein that feeds the food chain. And so they really, really are very important. But I felt the story that really communicated why our organization exists wasn't presented to the degree that I thought it should.
It'll be interesting to see the unveiling. A great reason to attend the plant sale this coming June 2nd. Let's take a song break. We're going to listen to Michael Martin Murphy with Carolina in the Pines, and then we'll be back to talk more about the Native Plant Society and more details of the upcoming sale.
Carolina and the Pines, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And this morning we're talking with Bob Wilson from Cedar Mountain Perennials and Mary Fraser, the Arboretum Leadership Team Member, Coordinator, Leadership Team Member, about the Native Plant Society, the sale coming up, and pretty much all things native plants. Let's pick it up, Bob, with you and the plant sale, and tell us about the details one more time, and then a little bit about what's being offered.
Okay. Again, the date on that is June 2nd. It's Saturday, and we'll start at 9 a.m., go till 1 o'clock. But we'll start, rather than jumping right into the plant sale, we will have a little presentation of our new interpretive signs there. And we'll have an unveiling, I understand, and then we'll get to see some very nice interpretive signs that have been installed just new this year, and then we'll make open up the plants for sale. I'll have my plants there from Cedar Mountain Perennials, as well as Diane Green with Green Tree Naturals. A few of the things that we're going to be offering, a wide range of perennials. If I could name a few specifically that maybe people are less familiar with, two groups of plants that I like, the penstemons. They're in the snapdragon family, so they have a flower that looks a little bit like a snapdragon. But there are about 270 species of penstemon, and almost all except just a few exceptions are native to the western United States. So a lot of them grow in very rocky, very dry, well-drained habitats. A few in more moist habitats. They all like good sun. But they come in a whole host of different flower colors, many blues and purples. Almost all of them are extremely showy plants. But blues and purples are the most common color, but then you also see pinks, lavender, magenta, bright magenta colors, and occasionally white to yellow. So they're all very interesting. They're also all very good for attracting pollinators. We're getting some in our yard starting to bloom now, and it's just fun going out and watching all the different, from the great big bumblebees to the tiny little solitary bees and even other insects and butterflies that come along and feed on the nectar from these plants and help them pollinate and produce seeds. So that's all very fun. The other group of plants I especially like to feature are the buckwheats. There's a group of wild buckwheats in the genus Eriogonum that I know they're called buckwheat, but it's not something you can harvest an edible seed off of. It's kind of somewhat related to the cousin, the cultivated buckwheat. But these again, are very drought-tolerant plants, good flower producers, more in the creamed white to yellow range. But yeah, and I think I said very drought-tolerant, sun lovers. And again, excellent. They're nectar producers, and they attract just a whole host of different pollinators. So they're fun, fun to add to your garden for those things.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, but because I think I've asked you this before, Bob. But are they also hummingbird attractors, or do you know that?
I was just going to mention hummingbirds are especially attracted to bright red flowers and with long, narrow tubes on them. That kind of fits their bill and their tongue. So anything like that. There are a couple of penstemons, the scarlet bugler, firecracker penstemon also are good. But if red is not available, then they go for blues. I've seen them going for the shrubby penstemon. And I was surprised just a couple of days ago. I saw them going for the alum root, which has kind of a creamy white flower, and is not something I thought they would ever go to at all. But they're out there. They're finding their flowers. A couple other things that they like. There's the orange honeysuckle, which is a vine, a very pretty vine, and they're attracted to that. That bright orange color as well.
All right.
There is a relationship between the pollinators and many of the native plants that can be beneficial, not just for the flower garden, but the vegetable garden. Can you talk a little bit about some of the specific native plants that might help out folks that are thinking that way?
Almost any plant is going to attract some kind of pollinator, anything with a bloom. So not grasses and not some of the trees, but just about anything with a bloom is going to attract some pollinator. And all the different flowers are structured differently. Some are very shallow, open little flowers, and they attract small insects. And some have big flowers and deep tubes and attract things like bumblebees and larger insects. Plants that are in the parsley family, and this includes, of course, a number of non-natives like your dill and parsley and some of the other herbs are very good for attracting lots of little tiny bees and wasps. And I like to put in a plug for the wasps because they can have bad rap.
They do, don't they?
They do.
Wasps
are some of the most, actually, most beneficial. If you're trying to manage pests, some of the most beneficial insects there are. Some of them are predators like the big paper wasps, but a lot of the little tiny ones are parasites, and they'll attack caterpillars, they'll attack flies and worms and things that get on your crops, and they'll parasitize them and keep the pest populations down. So, for if you're a vegetable garden, having having some of these native plants around to provide nectar and habitat and support these native native insects, it can help to reduce a lot of your pest problems as well.
That's really good to know, and mm-hmm. they're also beautiful. Tell us about a few more of the plants you'll be offering that we might not know about or might be more interested in having in our yards.
Well, I mentioned alum root, which is a very interesting one. And I like it because the foliage on it is something that's fairly attractive. When one of the issues with a lot of the perennials, and one of the questions we get when we have people visit our nursery is like, they say, what do you have that blooms all summer? Well, very, very few perennials bloom all summer. You usually get like a 2 or 3 week bloom period, and then they're done. So what do you have left is the foliage. And so having plants with attractive foliage, I think, is a big plus. So alum root has a little round leaves with the scalloped edges, very attractive, I think, foliage-wise. But it has these tall spikes, foot and a half tall, of creamy white flowers. So that's very nice, too. Another one that I think has very nice foliage is the Jacob's Ladder. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with that plant, there is a garden Jacob's Ladder, but the native one is a little more durable and a little more drought-tolerant and a little less of a spreader.
One of my favorites is the thimbleberry. Now, it'll take over, but if you're so lucky as to have some that you can help along, beautiful foliage, beautiful flowers, and a nice little berry.
Yeah, and we do have some thimbleberries as well. That's one of the plants we're growing. One of the things you have to watch out for with the native plants is that as plants like to do, they like to reproduce. And some can be quite aggressive spreaders, and some are not. The thimbleberry really needs some space to spread out mm-hmm. and move, or else some sort of confinement to keep it in place. So that's one thing to consider. Certainly not all native plants are like that, but there are a few that can really overtake a garden.
And some are reluctant to establish. Huckleberries, let's talk huckleberries for a little bit from your experience at the Extension Center and Dr. Barney.
Well, I can't say I have a lot of experience with huckleberries. Huckleberries do grow around here quite commonly, but at higher elevation and moister habitats. So if you can provide that, I think you can do well. They're not going to grow out quite in the same amount of sunlight and heat that blueberries, their relative, can grow in. But huckleberries can be grown here. As you mentioned, Dr. Dan Barney, who worked at the research center there in Sandpoint, was spent much of his career trying to develop a commercial huckleberry. And I think he made some progress, but I don't think he quite got to where he wanted to be on that. So you can grow huckleberries, but it's a little more of a challenge, given some moisture and a little bit of shade.
I'll just point out that this is one of the great reasons to come to the plant sale, because two truly experienced plant experts will be there, you, Bob, and Jill, and then even Diane Green as well. The three of you have many, many, many years of experience and knowledge about knowing where, what, where, when things should happen.
Well, and we actually have a team of very knowledgeable people that will help people select plants at the sale. But Molly O'Reilly and Sylvia Chatburn also, and Gail Bolin, all three of those folks are very, very knowledgeable and very helpful in helping choose plants that fit their garden conditions. And one of the key features of landscaping with native plants is planting plants that are suited for that specific habitat, whether it's a sunny spot or shady spot, if it's moist, if it's going to be dry. Those kinds of factors, if you put the plant in the kind of habitat that it's accustomed to, that it's adapted to, then it becomes a very low-maintenance plant. If you put something in the wrong habitat, then, of course, it's not going to thrive, and you're going to have to make more effort to keep the thing going. So matching the plants to the habitat you're growing in is very key, and all of those folks can do a very good job helping people do that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great event. And why don't you remind mm-hmm. us of the details, and then let's talk a bit more about the Native Plant Society.
Okay. We'll be starting on June 2nd, Saturday, June 2nd, and we'll have an unveiling of our interpretive signs. This will be a, sort of a celebration of the Arboretum. And if folks want to take a little tour, walking tour through the Arboretum, they can do that as well, because that's where the plant sale is. And if they're not familiar where the Arboretum is, it's right next to the History Museum. So you can, that's another thing you can visit while you're there. So we'll be going from 9 to 2 with a plant sale. We'll have a bake sale. Coffee will be available. And we'll have a variety of garden art and garden tools, as well as some both photograph and hand-drawn note cards.
Very good.
So is it until 2 o'clock? Because I had it a little bit earlier, till noon or 1, but I could be wrong. I just don't want people to show up late.
If I said 2, that was a mistake. It was till 1 o'clock.
Okay. Sounds good.
Or till the plants sell out, right?
That's right.
Come early.
Whichever comes first.
And I just wanted to say that parking is available. There's a parking lot there off Ella Street, and there's also on-street parking on Ella as well.
And it's on Ella. That's where we're looking. We're heading for Ella Street.
Right.
Very good. Let's circle around to the Plant Society. And Mary, you, during our song break, you were telling us about some of the, not only the mission, but also some of the activities that the Plant Society engages in. Let's go there for a few minutes.
That'd be great. So programming is important to the organization. And 9 months out of the year, every fourth Saturday of the month at the Sandpoint Community Hall, from 9:45 to 11:30, there are really wonderful guest speakers that address subjects pertaining to plants and our environment here in the Inland Northwest. We've got Bill Rember coming up this Saturday. Bill is a paleogeologist, I believe, and the program will discuss the geologic setting and relationship of the ancient Lake Clarkia to the Columbia River basalt. He'll be talking about fossils more than 100 million years old. Bill is an affiliate professor of geological sciences at the University of Idaho and director of the U of I's Tertiary Research Center.
That's a mouthful.
It is. Thank you for asking.
That's really going deep into the roots of native plants 100 million years ago.
Exactly. And then something else that's really kind of a highlight for us every year that's coming up next week is that there will be tree tours for all the third graders in the Lake Pend Oreille School District conducted by and led by our docents. And this is pretty cool. The teachers bring the classrooms and volunteer parents. They meet up with docents within each of our 8 habitats, and they learn about 12 individual tree species. They learn how to identify them by bark, needles, and cones. And in addition, we've got what you call tree cookies, which are cross sections. They're slices of trees where you can see all of the tree rings. It's really kind of fun because on a couple of these tree cookies, important dates in history are charted. So the kids get a sense of the passage of time through the examination of these trees and really get a sense of how ancient and long-lived some of these species are.
Interesting. Beyond that, other activities that the Native Plant Society helps out with.
Well, I'd like to mention a couple of things. We do have a conservation committee, and the conservation committee keeps an eye on a lot of the land use changes that especially our federal and state government lands are being subject to. So they are watching out for how these things impact our native plants, and especially if there are any rare or threatened plants are of concern that they...
And in the interest, again, of full disclosure, I've been involved with the Conservation Committee since 2002. And one of the things I think that is a hallmark of the Conservation Committee is that really we are the only voice specifically for conservation of native plants in our area. And that's really important. While there's other organizations that touch on conservation in really broad stroke terms, and some focus in on, say, water quality or air quality or some other issue, it's really important that that voice for native plants be focused and specific in a lot of projects. Otherwise, it's lost. And it's such an important value to so many things that we do on our public lands that I'm proud of the work that the Conservation Committee's done. And so that's my plug. If you're interested in more information, you can go to the website, nativeplantsociety.org, and there's a way to access information on all of the programs, including conservation.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. And then I also wanted to mention that we have a landscape committee. And usually through the summer, every month, we'll do one landscape consultation for one of our members. And that's another benefit of being a member, is that you're eligible for that. But we'll have a crew of 3 to 5, sometimes more, people visit a landscape and help people figure out which native plants will go in where and what they might want to do. And then they draw up a landscape plan and provide a plant list for that person. So that's another benefit.
It's a pretty nice service when you think about it, because you can come home with a truckload of native plants, and it can be difficult to decide really where they will be happiest. And to have experts mm-hmm. like you all out to help with that is a neat thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun day. We do ask that the host of our landscape committee landscape consultation does provide lunch that day, so that's a benefit to us as well. It's a win-win situation. I also did want to mention, you know, this is a very active group in our community, in not just the ways we mentioned, but it seems like it touches a lot of folks in a lot of different ways. But it's a very active group. It's a very fun group to be a part of. And we currently have, I think, well over 100 members in it, which is, I think, phenomenal for a community of our size. So it speaks well of it.
And you can learn more about the organization by going online to nativeplantsociety.org. Information about upcoming events and activities, plus how to get involved. And I'm just going to give another plug, because that's what I'm representing here for the Arboretum. We've got plants that need to be cared for, maintained during the growing season in the Arboretum, North Idaho Native Plant Arboretum in Lakeview Park, June through mid-September. We've got really great, nice, fun-loving people who are volunteers, people who have fostered relationships as a consequence of volunteering together. And if you've got an interest in learning more about native plants or becoming a little more social, maybe a little more physically fit, it's just a great way to spend a morning per week, a couple hours during the summertime. We'd love to have you get in touch with us, and there's information about that on our website.
It really appeals to a wide array of folks. And we're running a little short on time. Any other last-minute reminders or things you want to highlight coming up?
Well, I think we covered it pretty well. I hope to see a lot of folks out there at our sale on June 2nd, and I think we'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Any final thoughts or stories to share with us,
Mary? Well, I just want to say that, you know, even if you have a backyard space, to plant some native plants within that space is really important, because the insects, the birds, the wildlife, they've all co-evolved with those plants. And so you're doing all of them a favor, providing shelter, nesting sites, food, and an opportunity for those creatures to thrive as well. So, you know, we live in a world where, pristine lands are vanishing, sadly. And so the more we can do to just create habitat that will allow those animals to be successful in the future, the better.
We start with some plants, and we might end up with some other visitors, insects, animals, et cetera, birds. It's worth it. I want to thank you both for joining us this morning. Bob Wilson from Cedar Mountain Perennials and Mary Frazier, Arboretum Leadership Team Member. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mary.
And You're very welcome. And on to a song break. And this one is Tom Petty, the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show with me, Julie Calamine, and my co-host, Phil Huff.
Hey, we were talking all about wildflowers. What a fun segue.
We certainly were. Yeah. We were here with the Native Plant, Kinnikinick Native Plant Society, Bob Wilson and Mary Frazier. And they told us all about the upcoming event and a bit more about the Native Plant Society and why we all might enjoy becoming a member of the nonprofit organization.
So, speaking of upcoming events, what do we have for morning shows the rest of the week, Julie? Cut you on a guard.
Let's check. Well, why don't I start? You start, Phil, with an upcoming event.
Sure. So, for KRFY listeners, we have a special treat for you this Friday. Rumble, the Indians who rocked the world. KRFY is thanking the North Idaho community for its support of the radio station with a free showing of the award-winning 2017 documentary film, Rumble, the Indians Who Rocked the World. It'll be presented Friday night, May 25th, at the Panda Theater. Doors open at 7, show at 7:30. It's going to be a great movie. It sheds light on the influences of indigenous peoples on nearly a century of jazz, blues, heavy metal, folk, and pop music. So much more. Really such a great in-depth look at all that.
Yes, and a nice thank you from KRFY to the community. We hope you'll attend. And we have something else coming up. It's our annual membership drive. That's June 8th and 9th, coming up in a couple of weeks. And we'll be having live interviews, live music, a bit of food and entertainment happening up here in the studio at 323 First Avenue North. So I hope that members and non-members alike will make an effort to stop in and meet us.
And what are the dates on that again?
June 8th and 9th. I hope I've got that right. And that, again, will be in about 2 weeks, a Friday and a Saturday, from 8 until 8. 8 until 8. Yes, and Phil, you asked me about upcoming morning shows.
Tomorrow's Wednesday's morning show, and usually Chris and Susie are on.
And they are again, surprisingly. So please join us tomorrow morning with Chris and Susie at 8 a.m., and their guest is going to be Bill Ellis, spokesperson for the group Citizens Against the Newport Silicone Smelter. That'll be at 8 a.m. And then on Thursday, I hope you'll join morning show hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, and their guests will be Mike Bauer and Marcy Timblin from the East Bonner County Library. So both should be interesting shows, Phil.
And what's our post-Memorial Day program going to be like?
Well, do you know a little bit about it? Not really. I better check my schedule. Oh. Remember, I'm the one whose phone went in the drink. I'm still catching up.
We will have a great morning show guest next Tuesday. That's for sure.
That is for sure. What about upcoming community events?
Farmers Market's in full swing, which means the Wednesday's market is tomorrow. And if you're new to Sandpoint, that's down at Square Park, 3 to 5:30 p.m. And they're really starting to get into high gear. I think there'll be some plant starts there and probably some early season produce. But we're heading into the Memorial Day weekend, and there's so much going on Memorial Day weekend. Of course, Friday night, kick it off with the film Rumble. On Saturday, our guests told us already about the paleobotany and geology of the area. So that's always a great program. 9:45 at the community hall, the Kinnikinick Native Plant Society will be sponsoring Bill Rember with the paleobotany and geology of the Clarkia area. And you can continue on your Saturday and make it a full day of native plants with the afternoon wildcrafting plant walk and workshop from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Cascadia Permaculture Center in Clark Fork. If you want more information on that, you can call 208-550-3131. And if you don't have time to go out to Clark Fork but want to learn a little bit more about organic seed saving, the library will be hosting a discussion at 1 p.m. That's the East Bonner County Library at 1407 Cedar. Native plants, maybe you're tired of native plants in the morning, maybe you want to shift gears a little bit, you can go to the Walk in the Woods Kids and Kites. Residents are invited to discover all that the Pine Street Woods Community Forest will offer through the Kinnicksu Land Trust Walk in the Woods series.
Sounds fun.
It does, doesn't it? Now, you'd have to leave a little early for the Native Plant Society, so maybe you got to choose here. It's always a tough choice on Saturdays in May in Sandpoint, but that starts at 10 a.m. You can sign up at kinnicksulandtrust.org. So I think we should give a shout-out for the five-year anniversary of Idaho Poor Authority. They do so much for the community for so many nonprofits, and they're celebrating 5 years on Saturday with stuff all day long. They're going to have live music in the afternoon from 2 to 4, with John Fershey in the evening from 5 to 7 with Brown Salmon Truck, complimentary food all day, raffle prizes to and their proceeds will be donated to support the community food bank. So what a great thing to do for the weekend.
And you forgot one thing, Phil. There will
probably
be
a lot of things. But
beer.
Beer, right.
That's so, right.
Go visit some native plants and then drink beer after.
A perfect weekend. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And we'll head out with a song, Alan Jackson with Tall, Tall Trees. Have a great week.